This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Jerome Anthony and you're tuned into On The Ball, our weekly podcast on the top sporting developments in the world. Today we're going to talk about Game Week 12 of the English Premier League. Last week was pretty good. Liverpool managed to maintain its unbeaten run. City came from behind and won. And to discuss what you're going to expect in the coming week, I have two of my colleagues, Dustin Yard and Prakar Sachdev. Hi and welcome to the show, guys.
Hi, Jerome. It's good to be here.
It's good to be on the podcast, Jerome.
So, guys, the biggest match of this season, at least I'll consider it the biggest match of the season, City have a chance to get close to Liverpool and narrow down points difference. Yes. What do you guys say about the Liverpool and Manchester City match?
So, as you said, Liverpool versus Manchester City, undoubtedly the match of the season.
Right.
And the two matches, Liverpool against Manchester City and later down the season, Manchester City against Liverpool,
right,
will decide the fate of the trophy.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're quite excited about it.
Okay.
And it is going to be one really, really exciting game to watch out for.
Okay. I'll repeat myself. I did say City have a chance to narrow their gap with Liverpool.
I have.
You being a diehard Liverpool fan did not react to that.
Sure. I make a note of your point.
Yes.
And there's a very defining stat that tells that Manchester City doesn't like to come to Anfield and play.
Okay.
And the stat says that Liverpool are undefeated in their last 20 matches at Anfield against Manchester City.
Wow.
Across competition.
Also, City did have a chance to win their last season, but Mahrez blazed a penalty above the bar.
Yes.
Which ended nil-nil.
Yes. Okay. I was watching that match on a big screen.
Okay.
And somehow, it is one of those places Manchester City go everywhere and dominate, but there are a few stadiums for each team. Like Liverpool, they haven't enjoyed much success at Old Trafford.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how good of form they are in, but when they go to Old Trafford, they lose their form. And things that have happened in midweek, that makes me even more excited.
What happened during the midweek?
That Dustin will tell about what happened with Manchester City and their goalkeeper and Kyle Walker keeping for City during the dying moment. So, quite a few things happened.
Cool, Dustin, shoot.
Well, Jerome, firstly, this game is exciting for a variety of reasons, but one of the main things, it's one of the first six-pointers that we are seeing in the title race. What Prakar is alluding to in midweek is the fact that when City were playing their Champions League game, Ederson was taken off at halftime. The Pep Guardiola later said was a preventive measure. Claudio Bravo came out in goal. He conceded a goal and was then sent off for a foul, a red card, resulting in a subsequent free kick, for which Kyle Walker took up position between the posts. And he did save the free kick and managed to maintain a clean sheet for the rest of the game.
And as we record, the news has broken that Ederson will miss out the match against Liverpool. It's just in, it's just breaking. Yes, now this makes me even more happy because their backup goalkeeper, Claudio Bravo, it has been noticed that in tense situations, in critical matches, he kind of becomes nervous and he tends to create mistakes. He did that in some three seasons back against Barcelona, his previous team.
I don't think that will be called concern because now they have Walker there and I'm sure.
That was just... But jokes apart, Claudio Bravo is the backup goalkeeper and in tense situations, in critical matches, he kind of create mistakes. So this tilts the odds in Liverpool's favour further.
But given the form of Mohamed Salah, and if you compare that with De Bruyne or Raheem Sterling, who of course was a little lacklustre in the last outing, I think City could manage to change that record of 20 games against Liverpool.
Exactly, when it comes to the attack, City have their players in top form. If you look at it, Aguero is in good form, Sterling is in good form, and De Bruyne seems untouchable. He's hands down the best player in the Premier League, I feel, at this point in time. And Liverpool aren't really enjoying the same prowess up front with Salah being low-key in the past few games. But at the same time, City do have a lot of defensive frailties with Otamendi cannot be trusted as much. Laporte is out for the season. So you might just see Fernandinho once again slotting in that center of defense along with John Stones. And John Stones isn't the most secure of defenders at this point. So Liverpool will need to exploit that. But I think City have great quality on the wing backs with Benjamin Mendy and João Cancelo, who is an exceptionally good player at that position. So Liverpool's wingers might not have as much joy in this game, and Liverpool haven't been a strong team attacking down the middle. So City could just nullify that part of Liverpool's attack.
But we just have a problem that he raised about Liverpool attacking from the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Former Arsenal player Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, he has hit some kind of form, and it takes me back City versus Liverpool 2 seasons back.
Okay.
He hit some really good goals against City.
Two seasons back.
Okay. The last season he missed entirely. He was recovering from his long-term injury. But now he has scored some goals. There can be chances that
he's scoring screamers, not just some goals.
And he has this odd knack of scoring from outside the box. Some 30 yards outside the box, some 20 yards outside the box. And he just buries the ball inside the net. So there are chances that Jordan Henderson might set out, our captain, and Oxlade-Chamberlain might start.
Okay.
So,
and considering that their goalkeeper Ederson is not there for City, that could be a good chance for Liverpool to score. But let me get a quick prediction from you guys.
Let me be very upfront. It's going to be a high scoring match. I'm not denying that City won't score. City will score, and so will Liverpool.
Okay.
So the match could end up 2-2, 3-3.
Okay.
But being a Liverpool fan, I say 3-2. 3-2 for Liverpool.
Okay, that's
it. There's an interesting subplot to this game, that's Raheem Sterling's form and the fact that he hasn't scored or assisted at Anfield since leaving.
Okay.
But I'm backing him to break this duck, and I just think City might nip this game 2-1 or 3-1.
All
and
right.
Bring this title race back into life.
Yes, same here, Dustin. I'm on the same lines. In fact, I feel it's going to be a 3-0. City.
Okay.
Yeah, we got your opinion, Patel.
Still giving
you know, 3 goals to Liverpool. I'm pretty sure it was to City. None to Liverpool. Alright, so moving on. Leicester City and Arsenal. This is also going to be a good match considering the last game, Arsenal, how did they perform?
Well, that game was the third time in a row that they took the lead and failed to defend it against Wolves. They gave them a foothold to come back, and this has happened 4 times in a row now for Arsenal, including the last game which they played in the Europa League.
Okay.
So the manager has come under intense criticism. Fans are already calling for him to be thrown out.
Okay.
There's a section of fans also backing Arsene Wenger to come back to the club and serve as an interim manager. So things are all around the place for Arsenal. It's not looking good right now.
Alright, and Leicester, after that 9-0 win against Southampton, they came back last week. How did they perform?
They were quite clinical in a 2-0 win against Crystal Palace, and they are maintaining their position inside the top 4.
Okay.
So they are right now 3, and Jamie Vardy is right now with 10 goals at the top of the goal scoring charts.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not talk about Jamie Vardy's form. We have to see how their backline is performing.
Okay.
Just 8 goals conceded. They have the best defense in the Premier League along with Sheffield. And it was predicted that with the loss of Harry Maguire, their defense could be affected. But that's not happening. Leicester is quite an exciting team to look forward to in this season. And considering if City loses, and if Leicester goes on to win this match, Leicester will go on to second.
Considering, that's not...
Yes. So, this weekend, it's an important weekend for Leicester. They have a chance of going to second position.
Alright, what about Brendan Rodgers? I mean, you think his past experience in a title race, will it be an added advantage?
Sure. He kind of knows 2 or 3 players from Liverpool's camp as well. He was the one who brought Roberto Firmino in Liverpool, and he went away to Scotland, and where he won quite a few titles, and now he knows what are the challenges, what are the pressures when the team is in the title race. So his past experience would come in handy, and who knows, come December, January, February, his experience will help them to push Liverpool or even
it's
Manchester
important
City.
To note also that this Leicester City team looks better than the one that won the league.
That's interesting.
They play much better football than the team that won the league.
Okay.
And at the same time, Brendan also, he does not have any Champions League or other things to distract him.
Exactly.
The same trend from when they won it, that they could just focus on the next game in the Premier League. So that's a positive for them.
Right. And what about Emery? This will be testing times for him as well.
It's really bad for Emery, as we mentioned, and one of the biggest negatives for him is that with the squad at his disposal, with the likes of Nicolas Pepe, Aubameyang, Lacazette, Ozil, he hasn't been able to bring out the best in the team. That's the biggest criticism against him. And Arsenal just look all the worse since Wenger was there. Emery did have a good start to his career, so this forms an important game. And defeat here could see them slip way out of the contention for the top four places. So that would really be a big factor, because Champions League qualification is the minimum required for Emery right now. So that could go against him.
Sure. And what about Xhaka? What's the situation surrounding him?
So we've seen Xhaka, who was booed off by his fans during the Crystal Palace draw. Since then, he has been stripped of the captaincy. He was kept out of the team squad for a couple of games. He might just return to the squad. But Emery has now said Aubameyang will take over the role as the club's leading captain. Let's not forget they had five captains at the start of the season. So this means that they'll just have four. And the first pick will be Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang up front.
Alright, so moving on to Chelsea and Crystal Palace. The Blues have a chance to, you know, come up to the second spot as well.
Just as they are tied on points with Leicester, so Manchester City defeat could see either Chelsea or Leicester City leapfrog City into second spot.
Okay.
And things have been falling into place for Chelsea. This transfer ban has been a blessing in disguise. Lampard's appointment has proved to be really inspired. He's been able to get out the best of these players. And I think it's helped that he was managing Mason Mount and Tammy Abraham at his time in Derby County. So he's been able to trust these players. Willian is coming into form. And Christian Pulisic is a big positive for the Blues. And they were involved in a crazy game over the weekend.
Okay.
They were trailing Ajax 4-1, and in the second half they were able to pull it back to 4-2 before Ajax saw two players sent off with around 20 minutes to play, I guess. Chelsea were able to bring it up to 4-3 from the penalty that saw them get those two red cards. Later on they equalized for 4-4. They thought they scored a winner just a moment later, but that was ruled out because the ball hit Tammy Abraham's hand. And then Ajax just stunned Chelsea. Even though they were 9 players down, they just began chasing the ball all over the park, and I think they had 2 or 3 shots on target post being reduced to 9 men. So even though you would expect Chelsea to go on and win the game from being tied, the game ended 4-4. It was a brilliant display of attacking football. At the same time, it shows Lampard's willingness to just set up his team and go for the victory and inspire those players despite that scoreline at that point in the game.
One thing this Chelsea team is proving the world of football wrong is that the money gives you success. Many managers across the league, they have been criticized that you spend in a lot of money, you get the top players, and then they're criticized as if they are buying success by spending a lot of money and then going on winning the trophies. But with the complete ban, Chelsea not signing any players and trusting their homegrown players and still being in the top four, and not only doing well in the Premier League and also doing well in the Champions League. So it proves that it's not just the money that gives you success.
But we do need to keep in mind Chelsea did spend to bring Christian Pulisic before the transfer ban. Also, Matteo Kovacic was made permanent. And we'll have to wait and watch whether this tactic
will last.
Because once the ban is lifted, we know Chelsea do have that tendency to spend big on players. But till now, it looks good for them.
I have no qualms about it. Yes, if they have the money, they can buy talent and they can go on to win a cup. Ultimately, that's what matters. And if they are lifting the trophy, I would buy hook or by crook, I would want to get it.
Sure.
Of course, not by crook, but if I have the money, why not?
Okay.
So what are Crystal Palace's chances here? How are they performing?
Considering the kind of football that Chelsea is playing, it doesn't look like that they will notch a win against Chelsea.
Okay.
And they had a poor result last weekend. They lost 2-0 against Leicester. And they have just won 2 matches in their past 6. So definitely not
it's going to be a cakewalk for Chelsea.
Yeah.
Dustin?
Well, Chelsea are missing a big player in Jorginho. And I'm feeling bad because he's been wonderful to watch in these past few games. Playing beautifully. At the same time, his replacement might just be Emmanuel Kante, so it's not a bad player to bring into that position. So I think Chelsea have the goods to just beat Crystal Palace out of the park in this one.
Alright, and then we have, you know, the surprising Tottenham. I'm calling them surprising because yes, they have sprung up a few surprises. And the more surprising Sheffield. Yes, I really like the game. Lundstram is somebody who, you know, really turned the game for that team. What do you think are Spurs' chances here now?
Not that great, but one player that has come up in past few matches is their second goalkeeper, Gazzaniga. He is an amazing short stopper. In the match against Liverpool, he struck together some 4 to 5 good stops.
Okay.
And in the previous match against Everton also, he had some 2 or 3 good stops when Everton were going all out in attack. And Harry Kane should be back. He did not play last week against Everton. He did come back for the Champions League match and scored a brace along with Song Heung-min.
Mm-hmm.
So their players are getting kind of back in form. A 5-0 victory helps in developing the confidence, considering that now they have a good goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
It was a shock when they lost Hugo Lloris, but Gazzaniga has come and given them their security.
I still have my doubts because Tottenham is on the 11th position and you have Sheffield up there on the 6th. They would want to go up. They would, want to come into the mix of the top 4.
Just as you said, Jerome, it's an incredible story for a newly promoted side. They're just 1 point behind Arsenal in number 6 position. And if you look at the other two newly promoted sides, we have Norwich, who are second from bottom right now, and Aston Villa 2 points clear of relegation zone in 16. So it's amazing what Sheffield are achieving. And let's not forget, Sheffield are undefeated on the road and have just failed to score once in all their away fixtures. So it does promise to be an exciting game.
Alright, so what is the strategy that Sheffield is using to play so well?
Well, their manager Chris Wilder was asked this question recently and he summed it up brilliantly. He said, just attacking the next game. Now, Sheffield play an interesting system. They normally set up with a 3-4-2-1. Or they switch to a 3-5-2, and the difference between Sheffield's tactics is they play overlapping centre backs. Normally we have the wing back who marauds forward on the wing. Here Sheffield United have their defenders who keep attacking forward and just create overloads, create 3 versus 2 situations in midfield, which tends to disrupt teams and help them get forward. At the same time, they are really secure in defence with those 3 defenders, and they've conceded just 8 goals this season, which is joint best defensive record in the Premier League. Now, Chris Wilder used to play the system in the Championship and it did prove very effective with them getting promoted. People thought he wouldn't do it in the Premier League considering the gulf in quality. But Sheffield so far have been sticking to their principles and battering teams.
Okay.
And their position on the points table just justifies his approach in this regard.
Interesting take there, Dustin. Let's talk about United and Brighton. United have seen like a very, very poor phase in form.
Yes, they were in a poor phase of form, but now they have got back to form.
Okay.
And last week they lost, but that was their only loss in quite a few matches.
Okay.
And in midweek in the Europa League, they again got a win against Partizan.
Okay.
And they have now a regular goal scorer.
Okay.
In Marcus Rashford.
Okay.
He has been scoring well. And against Brighton, I don't see much of a problem considering that United will have home comfort. They are playing at Old Trafford.
Mm-hmm.
But they have few injury concerns. They have form going by their side, but they had their centre back Victor Lindelof getting replaced because he picked up an injury. So did their midfielder Scott McTominay. Quite a few injury concerns, and also there's not much updates on the long-term injuries of Matic and Paul Pogba. So they have form by their side, but injury to key players can prove handicap for their manager. So
what about Brighton, Dustin?
Well, Brighton have been struggling on the road. They won just one game at the start of the season and since then have picked up just 1 point on the road post that with a 0-0 draw against Newcastle. Brighton have also faced some of the big teams. They lost to City and Chelsea, but they did beat Tottenham. But that was a game where Hugo Lloris ended up dislocating his arm and the entire Tottenham team were in shambles. But still, to expect Brighton to come to Old Trafford and go away with a victory, something that even Liverpool didn't manage this season, might just be a far cry.
Alright. Okay, let's get to quick predictions. We did talk about Liverpool City, Leicester City, Arsenal.
I will go with a 2-2.
Yes. Alright.
Well, the football fan in me says Leicester might make this. But I still think if Emery gets the combination right, mm-hmm. Danny Ceballos is injured, which means Ozil might just get a free hand in midfield, a position he loves, and Pepe will be back in the side.
Okay.
If that clicks, I think Arsenal could blow Leicester out of the park. But we'll have to wait and watch.
Alright, what about Chelsea Crystal Palace?
I see a 3-1 victory for Chelsea.
Okay. I think Chelsea can win it 3-2. I think Chelsea would lead, but we've seen this in recent times that Chelsea just end up conceding a lot of goals to them. So I think a 3-2 victory for Chelsea.
What about Spurs and Sheffield?
A 2-2.
Okay.
I want Sheffield to nick this. So I'm going for a 2-1 victory for Sheffield United.
Alright, and the last but not the least, United versus Brighton.
2-1 victory for United.
Okay.
I think United will win by one goal.
So now moving on to the Fantasy League. Both you guys say you shouldn't keep goalkeepers of any of these teams. None of them are going to maintain a clean sheet.
Yes, we are seeing a lot of goals scored.
Mm-hmm.
So my goalkeeper for this match, I will pick Gazzaniga. As I just spoke earlier in the podcast, he's a good shot stopper.
Mm-hmm.
And if Sheffield attacks, he might top some 4 to 5 shots on target, and that might fetch you points. I'm not promising that he might keep a clean sheet. So my pick will be Gazzaniga.
Well, to make things interesting, I would go with the opposite team's goalkeeper here, Henderson. Because Tottenham will be attacking, yes. I'm not sure how many Tottenham will score. But what happens here is Tottenham is playing at home. They will have the impetus to go forward and attack. And Sheffield do not play any short balls. Henderson just hoofs the ball forward. So you never know if Tottenham can be caught on the break. It's just a possibility Henderson might get an assist in this game. Okay. So I would just go with that.
Alright, what about forwards? Firstly, for players who have a lot of City and Liverpool players, what should they do?
Interesting. I will go with Sadio Mane. I have had him in my team since the start of the Fantasy League this season. And he has been proving his worth.
Okay.
Mohamed Salah has been off colours, but that has not led to the drying up of goals. He has picked up the mantle from Mohamed Salah and he has scored in dying seconds.
So you should have no defenders from these teams either?
It will be difficult, yes. Remove, because both managers love outscoring each other. So yes, defenders from each of these teams will not prove to be quite a pick.
At the same time, Sheffield United defender Johnny Lundstrom, he got you 21 points in the last game.
Right.
So he would still be a good pick, I would say, because he plays a little advanced role. And again, with Tottenham attacking, hitting them on the break is just another possibility for Sheffield.
Alright, what about your captain? Who are you going to put as your captains?
Well, I didn't answer your previous question about the forwards, but let me say I would stick with Sterling, and if you have De Bruyne in your team, keep him. Because De Bruyne is a big match player and we might just see something special from him yet again. And if it was up to me, De Bruyne would be my captain for this game.
Alright.
And pick either of Jamie Vardy or Marcus Rashford. Both are in goal scoring forms, and if your budget permits, have both of them.
Okay. Alright guys, thank you so much for all these updates.
Thanks Jerome.
It was great to be on the podcast.
With that, we wrap this episode of On The Ball. In case you have any query and in case you think you would want us to give a feedback or some suggestion, please do write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.